Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, glow-getters, and welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio show. Am I excited for today? You bet your kick-ass I am. Today we are talking about wanting to work in the mining industry, as we try and always do. And we all know that mining is an industry which has always been male-dominated, and we talk about that, but it's getting a lot better and a lot more diverse. And regardless of the geographical locations all around the world, there have been positive steps to help integrate more women into these industries, but females continue to be underrepresented, and so we need to keep pushing the message out there to get women more out and on site. And to get a better insight into that and an understanding of how we go about it and how we get our boots on site, as my in-studio guest today is going to tell us, is my amazing friend and guest, Leanne Drew, and she is located here in central Queensland. And Leanne is an online educator for the mining industry in helping you get on site and, as she says, wanting to pounce. So that's in her words. And as a wanting to pounce into a job as a dump truck operator, haul truck operator, she's a magazine contributor, she's a blogger, she's a podcast host of her own podcast, Beers with a Miner, and she's a local all-round legend in our local area. So to get a better understanding of how we go about, Leanne's going to guide us through her journey and how she got into the industry and where she's progressed to today and what she's doing. And she believes in mind, body and spirit and having a good time along the way. So we're all for that. So you're listening to the Kick-Ass Radio show, Kickstart, where we talk about all things non-traditional roles for women working in the industries. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the glow-getter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour and you can get a few little takeaways from us today. A huge shout out to all the women working out on site and on track today. Stay safe and have a great shift. And it's also a good time to put a warning out there. This show may and does contain some adult language. So let's get into it. Welcome, Leanne, to Kick-Ass Radio. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Jo. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's an honour to be in this beautiful little studio that you've got here.
Yes, it is.
I love it.
It is. It's good. It's pink, yes. Yeah. So tell us about your journey into the mining industry and how you come about to actually forge a career and a pathway in there.
Well, I was kind of thrust upon it, really. I was a mum working in a pet shop and I had a bad separation and ended up, as you do, going home to mum. And they were living in a mining town, and at the time they were actually hiring a whole heap of people because they were going from a 3-panel to a 4-panel roster. Yep. So they basically needed a whole new crew. So they were putting on a lot of greenies, clean skins, and I was lucky enough my stepdad worked there, Mad Baz.
So that's how we come about with Mad Mumsy, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not actually. Oh, right, we realised that a while ago that we're both mad. so I was lucky enough he took me on a mine tour and I thought, I could never drive those big trucks, no way, you know, and all these men everywhere. Back then that was in 2000, early 2000s, so there weren't many women out there were in that particular place. And so we went on a mine tour. I grew up racing motorbikes, dirt bikes, you know, mini bikes, and Mum said, it's just like a big dirt bike track. And when I saw it like that, let's go racing.
That's a good analogy and a good interpretation of it, actually. Yeah, the ball roads and whatnot.
Yeah, that's right. And I was lucky to have my Baz living, I was living with them. And so every night we'd have the remote controls on the coffee table about backing in under the digger because I wasn't getting it because I got the job.
Yeah.
So I had to go for an interview and all that, got the job. But I really struggled at first. I just couldn't do it. And I nearly left a couple of times, but I stuck it out, did the big list of should I stay or should I go, and the staying one. But that was down in New South Wales, and I saw snow for the first time. I'm from Adelaide, but been in Queensland for a lot longer. So I'm like, no, I came back up here. And, then I started working in Queensland.
Now, I know that your family, like your mother and your sister Dione and you, are pretty much, well, I think your mum was a pioneer for women in mining in South Australia,
wasn't she? She was in Western Australia.
In Western Australia, was it?
No, she started in South Australia.
I think, because I think when I talked to Dione a little while ago, I think that's what, so pioneering. pioneering family of women in mining, Leanne comes from. So that's a great achievement and milestone for your family. So kudos to you, your mum.
My mum. Well, we basically both separated from our husbands at the same age, 39, and mum started again. So she started off as a cleaner, then went into in the mines, then went into the kitchen and then into laboratories.
Oh, okay.
And then ended up a laboratory supervisor.
Wow. So was that doing the sampling and
excellent. Oh, what a tough job. Physical.
Hands-on job, manual.
So she's been on my podcast and many stories from back then because times have changed.
Exactly.
A lot on a lot of levels. So that's a great interview to listen to.
And in regards to back when you ladies were in the industry starting off there, and we know there was lots of challenges back there, how do you think the industry's progressed and evolved from that, like from when you ladies were on site, or when you were on site back in 2000, say, in regards to what was available on site? What were they actually catering for a lot for the women, or how many women? I think you've got a pretty high ratio of men to women when you first started.
I first started, there was a crew of 60 men and two women, and I was one of them. And I'd just come out of a very bad broken relationship after 22 years, so I was just a mess, crying all the time, you know, emotional wreck. I had no right to be there. I needed to go and crawl in a corner, but I had to go and learn how to drive
under a rock
truck. I had to go and learn how to drive a truck on a crew of 60 blokes. And back then, they could swear over the two-way and swear jar coming up, right?
Imagine the money you could have earned.
I know, yeah, definitely. But that's Mad Mumsy's first tip is if you can't handle swearing, don't even think about mining.
And
because they have changed a lot, but they can't stop people swearing. But back then, they used to say it over the two-way. I'd back in. They had shovels where I first started. So you've got to back in. You've got to line up under the teeth, and I'd back in. And they get on the two-way and say, get your ass around. And I'm like, oh, which way? You know, I'd be trying to move this way, but they wanted me to go the other way, and I'd just cry in my truck. And, it was just an emotional wreck. And the big thing then was you had to harden up.
Yeah.
Harden the fuck up, princess, right?
Yeah.
Take a couple of
steps. That was the terminology, wasn't it? Harden the fuck up.
It was, and you just basically had to try to become one of the guys.
Yep.
Whereas now I'm a lot more passionate about still being yourself.
Yeah. Definitely. We've got to be our authentic selves, and we talk about that a lot here on Kick-Ass Radio.
Yes.
Because if you're not your authentic self, keeping up the facade of who you're trying to be, that's a lot of bloody hard work, and you end up failing. So we don't want anyone to be doing that. Everyone needs to show up as their authentic self at work.
That's right.
So that's right. So, and as we said, the industry's definitely come ahead in leaps and bounds in regards to that. And mining is not a glamorous occupation by any means, is it?
No.
So when we say you've got to harden up, you've got to accept the coal dust, the grease and the grime, the conditions, and it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Like,
just come home and get your hair done.
Yeah.
Go and do your nails.
You clean up and you go on.
That's right. And here's another tip. If you have long hair, I started wearing two plaits, which is part of Mad Mumsy brand.
Yeah.
But I actually wore two hats and a hat, baseball cap.
Yeah.
All the time because it was the best way to look after your hair. I'd see some girls out there and women, and they just have their lovely, beautiful hair in the morning. By the end of the day, I'm like, mate, it would be split ends everywhere. How can you even get through it?
A matted mess, I know.
Yeah, that's, and makeup and nails, and which is fine. And if you want to express yourself like that at work, well,
that's part of being you.
With me, I expressed myself through my belt or my lunchbox or my backpack, or my hat, my footy hat, my cat hat, stuff like that.
So you can
still be yourself,
that's
but
you.
Wearing your high vis and being sensible and safe. I did have false nails once and they broke off opening the truck door. I'm like, I'm never doing that again. My nails have never been safe.
All right. So, and I'm sure your mum would remember how different it was back then too. Like, that was what we were saying, like the late 90s, early 80s, your mum would have been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, and I know in those days women were not working underground then, but they did have a different sort of presence in the industry in regards to when we're saying women had a different presence in the industry back then. It was like the girly calendars in the crib rooms, and that was the female presence on site and in workshops, you know, back in those days. So we've definitely come a long way.
That's right.
From that perception and perspective.
Mum did say there were a few women that drove trucks, but that was about it.
Mm.
And they were big, tough women, they were kind of really tomboy women, and no leaders at all, no supervisors.
No, back then, no.
That's right. And you say about the calendars, that's a no-go. That's one thing that's changed. They're not allowed
the sexism. Right.
Yeah, they can still have it in their crib bag and read it in their truck or whatever, which they...
We find a few magazines here and there out on
And the rags in the door. It's like, ew, I'm not using that. It's been, what have they been doing all night?
there's a lot of sideways comments that that get passed around of what you see and what you come across.
And it happens.
It does. And that's
real
part
life. That's what to expect.
That's
why we both do what we do, because we want you to know what it's really like.
Yeah.
A lot of people just see the money and the time off.
Yeah.
And think how hard can it be driving a truck up a ramp.
And
that's all they know about mining.
Yeah.
And then they get out there and they quit because they can't do it.
That's right. And a lot of
men
them,
and women.
Women, that's right. Because the golden handcuffs keep them there for the money. For the money, and they're not there for the actual enjoyment of working out on site or enjoying their job. So
their career,
if you don't enjoy your job, don't do something you're not happy in, and you need to move on. And as we said, it's mines were not designed with women in mind back in the day, and most women do feel encouraged to work in mining. Feel encouraged to work in the industry, resources industry, because of the conditions back then. But there's we've come a long way with flexible working arrangements, conditions, accommodation, a lot more amenities on site. You know, we've got our female design workwear now. That used to be a big hindrance was the workwear. The high-vis workwear that you had to wear was all men's clothes. So a lot of the girls that and women going on site were wearing men's clothes and, like, oversized clothes, oversized shirts. They are a safety hazard if they get caught anywhere. Ill-fitting pants, long, too baggy. So there was a lot of issues with the women not being included in a lot of those areas out on site, as we said, like workwear amenities and whatnot.
And boots as
Boots.
They didn't have women's boots when I started. And I've only got a small foot.
Mm.
So I had to find the smallest man's boot pretty much. And then wear three pairs of socks.
Yeah. And like
thick work socks.
Yeah. So was that comfortable? Did that provide a hazard for you, like slipping and tripping or
Yeah, for sure.
So, yes, we've definitely.
And now they've got funky purple ones.
They have.
And I love all the companies now that are coming out with, specifically for women.
With the women's workwear. They are amazing.
For pregnant women
especially. Exactly, yeah. All the maternity wear coming out. So there's lots of options out there now for the ladies in regards to workwear. And you can, you know, even though a lot of the companies do provide your workwear, but you can personalise it, as Leanne said, with your own little individuality, with your, you know, your hat. Some places mightn't allow you to wear a cap, but others will. As we said, our crib bags. I have a yellow crib bag, which I'm updating to a pink one.
Yay! With Kick-Ass Radio on it, I hope.
And as you said, your backpacks, headbands, whatever you want to do. But it's all about you and presenting as your authentic self.
While still complying
with safety and site regulations and policies and procedures. That's right.
And, like, you, in most sites you can't wear jewellery.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because it can get caught in machines
and that can cause injuries, especially hand and finger injuries. We don't want anyone losing a finger, getting a ring caught or anything.
It's just not worth it.
No, it's not.
So I used to have a big thing of when I got home from being out on
site,
doing a swing, I'd put all my jewellery back on. And that meant I'm not at work.
At work.
And I didn't wear a watch either because I had to wear, you're allowed to wear a watch at most sites I was at, which you needed to because you had to record the times that you were under the digger and all the things.
Whatnot.
So, yeah.
And I know a lot of people, in regards to when they go out to site, you have to set your mindset, like you don't get on the bus or you don't drive out there or you don't get on the plane on your very first shift to go out there and say, oh, I've got 7 days to go. You don't go with that mindset. You've got to go out, hey, it's day one, I'm on my swing, six to go, and look forward to it. But, yeah, if you go out there with a negative mindset or go to work with a negative mindset, counting your days, it's just going to bring you down and the days will go slower, I guarantee it, if you count your days and your
That's a big thing. You've got to be there anyway. So lighten up.
Yeah.
You know, instead of harden up.
We'll
the one at the crib up having a bit of sing in the morning.
Yeah, definitely.
And my sister's famous for that. What are you so bloody happy about doing? 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, well, we've got to be here, you know.
That's it. Yeah. And that's the kind of, that's the mindset you've got to take on board.
Yeah.
So when we talk about back in the day, we'll come back we'll visit the past and come back to the present. What do you think about workplace culture now? Like we had a little bit about that before, about sexism and the language and that, but you've experienced firsthand a different culture to what we're experiencing nowadays. What do you think a good workplace culture should represent? Like,
that's a big call there, Jo. I feel like phoning a friend. Where's my sister? She's the culture and leadership specialist. But for me, back in the day, it was all very harsh and very angry. A lot of anger. Angst. A lot of people didn't want to be there, whinging and bitching and gossiping. I remember when I first started, Mum saying, "You think women gossip? Wait till you start working with men."
It is true too, isn't it? They are like the telegraph.
They are, mate. So you know, you as a woman, you're probably going to be cheating, pregnant. You know, there's
lots of
and then they get over you, and there'll be something else to gossip about. So.
And you don't, and that's the big tip there. You don't take anything personally. Like we said before, you need to take on board. But then again, you don't take it if it offends you nowadays.
That's right.
And we've got a lot of policies and procedures out there now in regards to sexual harassment and bullying, and which we need. So if you do believe that you are being under, what do we say? Being discriminated against, or you're offended by something that someone said, or you're being bullied, you do need to speak up to your line leader or your manager and report it, because it isn't tolerated. That behaviour is not tolerated anywhere nowadays, and nor should it be.
That's it. So. And try. My perspective too is to try with the person that's doing with you first.
You
do see that a lot. People just go straight to the bosses.
Yeah, without addressing
themselves. And you'll lose a lot of respect among the crew. try and work it out yourself first.
Mediate with
then
each other,
if that, mediate would work. Then if that's not working, then you go start going up the level. And because you might find supervisors who aren't taking on board what you're trying to share.
Yeah.
So then you need to take it further.
Yeah.
But things that used to happen back then, they just wouldn't act, or they, and this still happens too, sometimes they'll just, yes, that's right, this, not always a guy, sometimes a woman, but for whatever reason, the crew culture's not good, so they'll just change all the supervisors around on the crew. So some new leaders will come in and try to change things, or they'll just move a few specific people around, and it can change everything.
Yeah.
And it just takes one person on the crew that is creating the not drama. A nice culture. Mm. They get a new job and leave, and everyone's like, "Woo!" You know. But then it can have the opposite. One person can come in and just change everything.
Everything. That's
so
right.
So it's a big thing just to try to be in control, not in control, but. What does Dione say about the Stockdale paradox?
No,
being in what you
feel comfortable with. It's how you feel comfortable with yourself, and it's your own personal interpretation.
Yes. But and what's in your sphere of control?
That's
all. Go out there and do the best you can. Do your best job. Try to stay out of the gossip. If things are getting out of hand, take it further. And there are policies and procedures now that are put there because of those sort of reasons.
That's exactly
and
right.
We have mining inquiries and all sorts of things to stop it happening.
Yep.
But the guys are becoming a lot more acceptable. And I find now, back to your question about culture changing, is there's a lot of men who now stick up for the women. They say, need for that.
Yeah, and that's right.
And that's huge change.
We have had a big culture shift in that regards, and it's great to see. And even, back at the guys, there's no reason for women to be ill-treating the guys in that manner either. So it's respect for yourself, respect for others, and respect for your workplace.
Yeah, because we're all on the same crew, and they become family.
They
sure, you might have the cousin you don't really like too much and the crazy old uncle or whatever, you know. But we all have to get on. You're going to spend half your life
with them. That's exactly
so
right.
So it's about respecting each other, and everyone's a bit different. Not everyone's like me, wants to have a chat and blah, blah, blah. Someone might just want to sit in the corner and read their book or go on their phone at crib or whatever.
Yeah,
and we
that's
need
right.
to respect each other's.
Yeah. First,
and we've all got
space
other
in
things.
There.
Yeah, there's and things going on
in our
world.
Personal lives. That's right.
The cranky dozer driver on the dump might not necessarily hate you because you put it in the wrong spot. He's got major family issues going on.
Right.
You don't even know about it. And that's not all she, you know.
Yeah.
So. It's respect.
That's exactly
and
right.
And that we're all humans, men, women, leaders, workers, management. We're all just humans out there working away from home, away from family, trying to be safe, trying not to die, trying to get
home safely. That's right.
And we all got to help each other do it every day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, so we might take a little break and we'll hear from one of the show's sponsors and we'll be back with you soon.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, thanks for tuning back. We've got our in-studio guest today, Leanne Drew, a.k.a. Mad Mumsy. Now, we've been talking about working on site in the mining industry. Leanne was a dump truck operator for 12 years, I think it was it?
13 years. And grader and loader and water.
So you've had an array of roles. You experienced an array of roles over.
And the roller.
Yeah.
That was the first machine I learned, the roller, up, down. I was pretty excited to get off the truck. But I
so instead of going round, you were going just up and down. All right. So over that tenure of 13 years, how did you come about to what you're doing now? What led you to become a podcast host and a blogger and an online educator? So tell us how you come about with all that.
Okay, well, I guess it all started by people are always asking, how do I get a job in the mines? You must be rich. And how does a little thing like you drive those big trucks? And telling people all the time on break, especially my kids' friends and stuff like that, and they go, oh, yeah. And then you'd start to say, yeah, but
this is,
you're away for half the year. You can't do this. You can't, like, there's no drugs. There's no alcohol. You might miss the footy grand final, funerals, weddings, all that. And most of them wanted to just stay where they were. It was a bit hard. And then I started studying in my truck online business in the USB, listening to, because, you know, 13 hours at a time we were doing.
Yeah.
And lots of time to listen to things, including podcasts. And there was a guy who started Entrepreneur on Fire, one of the first big podcasting guys. He did one every day. And he said, if I started a podcast course, how to do a podcast course, would you sign up to all of his listeners? Because he kept being asked about how
did he start?
So I signed up. I think I paid $127 to be in his beta launch, and it's now nearly $2,000, and I was grandfathered in for life. And so I learned how to do podcasting, but I was learning that for a year before I even put on my brave boots
to do it. That feeling,
But what really started giving me my voice, I started writing a book called Survivor Chick, because I was, I survived after being breaking up from bad relationship and then driving in the mines. So I started writing a book about it, and then we're at the crib hut one day and there was a magazine out there called Shift Miner, and there was a couple of women and they were saying, this is good, but where's the women? There's no bloody women in this magazine. There's not one, nothing in here ever for us chicks, except for the community pages, and there might have been an event
for the local,
and they've taken lots of photos.
Mining service town.
Dysart or whatever. So my accountant actually talked me into hitting them up and asking them if I could write for them, because I'd started my website by then, madmumsy.com, and was just blogging, just writing things. And then they said, they'd give me a go, but they only wanted 300 or 400 words.
Oh, don't you hate word count? And
yes. I never used it until then.
Oh, that's one of my big peeves. I hate word count. When you're restricted to a number of words, it's no, I can't say it in that many words.
And because I'd send it to Angie, the editor, and he'd go, that's really good. Now you need to cut out 1,000 words. So I started having a longer version of that article on my website.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And then my first podcast, basically, I just started reading. I did an audio blog, which is kind of how you started, wasn't it? Just reading out.
That's right.
Then you start to get a bit more
confident.
And then I started interviewing people, and then now it's here we are. Going. And that was in 2016, April Fool's Day. And I know I submit to iTunes back then, not Apple Podcasts. And I was hovering over the submit button, and I was meant to go and shopping with my daughter. My youngest daughter, and she's just saying,
Just do it, Mum.
We ran out the house and got in the car and went shopping. And by the time I got into Mackay, which was only about half an hour, it was live, and I was officially a podcaster. But no one knew what a bloody podcast was. I spent my whole life trying. Mum said, oh, where do I watch that? Well, you don't watch it, but you can watch this
one. Today, that's today. Right.
I did that, and then I ended up, I had a lot of people starting to contact me about more information and how do I get in. So I created my online course called Pounce, How to Pounce on Your Job in the Mines as a dump truck operator in Queensland coal mine. But most of it can be used
across the board.
Nationally, really, most of the skills. And nearly 1,000 people have gone through that.
Excellent. Great achievement.
Yeah, and so now I do mentoring.
Yep.
I've got a new private Facebook group for my paid students, yep. and we do live Q&A's sessions. It's meant to be about an hour. The yep. last one was 2.5 hours.
Funny, isn't it?
But we had a great Saturday night.
No word count yeah, there.
No, that's right. And then the recording goes back into the group, and I've got a few experts
it.
In there.
Well,
is it? Have you? Oh, yeah. You can be my train expert. Driving expert and the woman expert.
So with the Beers with a Minor podcast, what kind of information do you cover there?
Oh, mate, all sorts.
Lots of, you talk to a lot of people on site, don't you, that actually work in out on site, which is good. Get first-hand experience and knowledge and information from the workers out on site.
So that's right.
Relative information.
Mm. Yep. And I have a few standard questions. Well, the first one's always, what's your favourite drink?
Of course, beers
with
a mind.
Beer, wine, spirit or Patsy. But I'm having a beer. And we actually do have beer.
And we did. We did. Have a drink. When we did. I was on yours, we were out at the harbour having beers.
Yeah, we were. I was sleeping. No, yeah. I was staying. That's right. So I've had lots of people who, like my mum and Baz, Baz is still out there, but mum, past miners. I've had my sister on a few times. Some of them are just audio blog where it's just me having a bit of a rant.
Yep.
And I've had the cranky dozer driver. And because I'm not about naming and shaming.
No.
So I always say this one band camp, this one cranky dozer driver, you know, because it's not about that happened. Then I went there. Yeah. And
it's not about that at all.
And I've also had some, a lot of people on now that are supporting the industry.
Yep.
So I had the CEO of Are You Okay?
Yes.
And he'd never been on a podcast.
Oh, truly?
Ever.
Wow.
I know. That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's probably been on 100
now. But, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people like that.
Industry, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. And that's what we need, because we need that information to get out there and be more available, because, as we said, you and I both get asked those same questions.
Yeah.
How do I find out about this? Where can I go to find out about it? So that's where all these kind of advocacies start with, like, hey, this is how I started. This is how I found out. Let's help you along the way. So that's what we're all about. I was going to ask you something else and I've forgotten.
Interrupted you. Not like me, I know.
Getting back to the shift miner contribution you make. So that's still ongoing, isn't it? So is that monthly, bi-monthly?
That was kind of randomly with them. We used to have a wet season.
We don't.
So they were actually a printed magazine that would go out to the service stations and camps, communities out in the mining area. And so they'd just get them out when they could. And then mostly in the dry season, they'd stop in the wet season. But now they've gone online.
Oh, digital, most things.
Yep. And it's a paid subscription. Sadly, they don't feel that Mad Mumsy on the online version is required.
Well, if anyone else out there,
up again,
if anyone else out there would like to invite Leanne to contribute to their industry magazine, by all means, reach out and get in touch with Leanne.
Oh, thanks. I'll buy you a beer.
Okay, so coming back now, what advice can you lend, or what would you say to the younger women out there now and or other women contemplating a transition and who are hesitant to consider a career in the mining? I think
I would say go for it. Go for it, mate.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and whether it's mining or whether I know you cover a lot of different industries.
Different industries we do, yep.
Construction and all of that. Whatever it is, just take all the blinders off. Mm. And I guess also what I'd like to say is go in and have a look around.
Experiment explore. Yeah. That's the word.
And follow people like us.
Shadow, yeah.
But people that are talking about the industry, listen to people who are doing it and see if you think that would suit you. And that, like in my Pounce course, which is an audio book as well, see how long that goes. I got hang on, I'm meant to be reading. but the whole first section is kind of, are you cut out to be a miner? Yeah. And it's not just for you personally, it's your family. Mm. And the questions to ask, like how long do you think you could be away at a time? Do you want to drive in, drive out? Do you want to move to a mining town? Do you want to fly in and fly out? What are you prepared to do? What aren't you prepared to do? Because everyone's got a line.
That's
are you prepared to go out there and clean toilets while you're waiting to get the dream dump truck job?
Yeah, or the opportunity,
And that's... so lots of questions, and I think start there, but we can all do anything.
That's right.
You can do anything, mate. And like me, I really struggled at first.
And we all did. We all did. Like, we all have those self-limiting beliefs, and we all have that doubt that, oh, I'm not cut out for this, I can't do it. You've just got to step out of that comfort zone.
Have a crack.
Yeah, and have, exactly, have a crack, because we're all capable of doing these jobs.
And if it doesn't work?
Yeah, you go and try something else, So, if you don't like the haul truck driving,
go and drive a train.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so if the listeners want to know more about you, where can they get in touch with you? And what can they find?
Oh, well, Mad Mumsy on all the things. I'm the same on everything, at Mad Mumsy, and it's M-U-M-Z-I-E.
For Mumsy,
Or Z, depending where you're from. and also with my sister, I have a collaboration, Steel Cap Sisters.
We're just about to talk about that.
We'll
talk about that. Yeah. So your sister, Dione, she's been involved in the industry as well for a long time, and she's based more on safety side now, isn't she, and mentoring and what else? Tell us about Dione.
Well,
and your collaboration.
Yeah, well, Blister, as she's commonly known, my Blister, my sister, started in mining on her 18th birthday, and she's now over halfway to 100 like me. Been doing her whole adult life. And then...
So that's the only industry she's worked in, really.
Pretty much. She's had a couple of breaks here and there, got into fitness for a bit, and always has gone back to mining. Yeah. But has, because of her experiences, she became very passionate about safety. Mm-hmm. And so she became a safety officer, kind of like OCE we have here. And then through that, she got into coaching, and now she's at a level of coaching mine managers,
corporate
leaders, but also the boots on the ground like us, the real
workers.
Busted us miners, but trying to show to leaders a different way to be with their workers in a way that we listen. So how many times, and if you don't know this is going to happen, you've got to go and watch a boring PowerPoint presentation. You've got to do inductions, or you'll get the managers that will come out and they've got their collars on and they put on a vest because they're out in the pits and they've got to stand in front of us and tell us something really important that we need to hear. And it might be about safety. It might be about huge changes. It could be anything. But they get out there and start finger pointing and we just go, get back to your office.
Yeah.
And you do.
You shut off.
And that's where my sister is passionate about making messages sink in a way that is respectful and acted upon with leaders and culture. And I'm not doing her any justice at all with those words about what it is that she does. But if you follow her hard hat mentor on all the things, and together we're Steel Cap Sisters.
Yeah, so that's right. So you have joined together and got a collaboration called Steel Cap Sisters. So what are you guys offering in there? So just a combination of what you both are doing? Yeah.
It started off as a place for us just to hang out together and not always talk about bloody mining. So we started a podcast called What Boots.
Yeah.
We've got three big episodes as we record this.
She's in WA.
Yeah, and that's one thing is Dione is West Australia based on Queensland, so we've got both sides of the country covered.
That's right. And it's a huge industry in WA. It's massive.
Oh, it is. Yeah. The resources sector over there.
Just nearly the whole state is.
But our biggest thing is the What Boots is...
What you're feeling today.
It's a mindset. So like you said earlier about you're going to work, all right? If you're on the bus or you're on the plane and you're heading out to work, you don't want to go out there with the boots on. I freaking hate this job. I don't want to be here. Yeah. I'd rather be at that 40th birthday party or whatever you're missing out on. Instead, put those boots on. Well, I'm going to work. this is what I got, you know, this is why I'm here. This is my why. Another thing Dione always talks about. What's your why?
Yeah.
You know, have your pictures of all the things that,
That's
why am I here?
Yeah, that's right. That's your vision board that we all should have, and that's your motivation. That's exactly right, because you're there for a purpose, and it's to better your life. It's to provide for your family a more quality of life. That's why you're out there, and you're out there because you're enjoying your job.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
And there are people that don't succeed and don't like it and try it and leave. There are thousands that absolutely love it.
That's right.
And like, look at my sister. She started off as a cleaner when she was 18, and now she's coaching mine managers. Do you
mind? And how many and how many women have we seen that started doing that? As we said, it's if you want to actually really get out there, be prepared to start at that level, because you need to get your boots on site and in the doors. And that's a great way to start, is by being in the in those industrial crews that are site, what do we call them? Maintenance, site maintenance, camp maintenance. So they're great stepping stones to start off into the industry and get, as Leanne said, get your boots on site.
And it gives you a taste of
what it's like.
Staying in camp, being away from home, can your family handle it? Can you handle living out of a little donga?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. A lot of people can't.
And that's what I talk about in my book too, was how you need to prepare when you're actually considering taking on a job in these industries. You need the support network at home. So you really need to make sure you sit down with your family and talk about, you know, hey, I'm considering applying for a job in this industry. I'd really like to work in it, but it's going to involve me doing a 5 and 6 roster, or 4 and 4 roster, 7 and 7 roster. I'm going to be going out of town. So if you have younger kids, and there is a lot of mums working out on site, but you need to have those support systems at home, because when you're out on site, you're out on shift, you can't drop everything. If you get a phone call to say, hey, little Johnny's sick at school, there's no, oh, hey, boss, I got to go and pick the Johnny up from school, he's crook, and take him home. You just can't do that. You're out on site, you're out of town, you're 3.5 hours away out of town, or if not long, you know, further.
If you're flying.
Yeah, fly in, fly out, you're a long way from home. So you really need those support systems at home. So you need at least three backups at home. So if Nan and Pop can't look after the kids, or hubby or wife, you know, the main carer at home, you need 3 or 4 systems behind those as backups to help you with the times that you are out on shift. Set yourself a goal, as in how many years you want to be out on site and work. You know, that's a lot where people, they get out there and, as you said, they might just last so long, they leave, go and do something else. Then they get the mindset, oh, I should have done that better. I could have done this. I could have done that. Manage their money better. Manage their fatigue better if they didn't like, you know, the hours or whatnot. And then they come back and they do it again. So it's, there's a lot of preparation in the beforehand. Just when you're thinking about it, as Leanne said earlier on, there's lots to think about and explore. Have a look at all the opportunities out there. You don't just have to be out on out in the pit and out on the dirt. You can be in the office. You can do HR. You can do finance and accounting. You can do lab work. You know, there's lots of opportunities out there.
Recruitment.
HR. There's lots and lots of opportunities. So don't just think, when we're talking about the industries, the resource industries, that we're just talking about working out on the dirt in the coalface.
It's just because that's what we've done. Yeah. So we talk about what we know.
No. But as we said, there's lots of opportunities, and lots of those opportunities lead to other opportunities. So if you start out there in HR or in the payroll, finance and accounting section, that doesn't mean to say that's where you'll stay. You can progress and you can get yourself out on the coalface easily, you know, by applying for internal jobs that come up, and opportunities, traineeships, programs. So the opportunities are unlimited, but you need to, as we said, you need to have a think about it and make sure that you talk with your family first to say, this is what I want to do. Do you think, you know, it's manageable? Can we manage as a family, as a support system? And go for it. try it. Yeah.
And one thing I see quite often is a lot of people out there have that goal to start with. 3 to 5 years, pay off the mortgage, then I'm done.
Yeah. Nah.
It's one of my questions I ask quite often on the podcast, and we laugh. Oh, we laugh. And how long have you been here? Oh, I can't leave. Couldn't get a town job. Wouldn't even pay the mortgage.
No.
And you know, they're those golden handcuffs.
Yes, it is the golden handcuffs. And the quality of life that you set for yourself and that you get used to.
Mm.
But a lot of other people do set their goals, and they do go out there with five-year plans, and that's exactly right.
Because they love it.
Yeah, that's right.
Buy another house.
Yeah, and a boat.
And a car. Yeah. And a couple of old cars. That's it.
So as we said, there's apart from financial benefit, you know, there's self-fulfillment and accomplishment when you get out there and get on site and you know that you can do these jobs, and you do. You fulfill the role. You're kicking ass.
And so, there's also lots of room for self-improvement.
Oh, definitely, self-development. Yeah.
And so when you were saying about if you go in and you're in an office role and you're hanging out with all the leaders, but you'll probably get to know the people that work in the pit as well.
Well, crews.
On the, what do you say, on the track?
On track, yes.
On track or in maintenance or whatever. And if you are in the office, you have the ears of the managers and the leaders.
That's
and
exactly
you can,
right.
You can start to help to implement change that helps a lot of people. And we, you know, there's a lot more women out there now in leadership roles across all levels, and it's really good to see.
It is good to see, and that's where the diversity of having women in a lot of those roles, because women have the innate skills of empathy, of listening, of being able to nurture and provide a better perspective on humanization. I don't know if that's the word or, personal skills and whatnot. So
yeah, and good for morale.
It is.
Easy on the gear.
Yeah, they are.
Apparently. That's,
apparently.
Drive it like you stole it.
That's it. Yeah.
That's what they always say to us.
That's what, even with the trains, but we say that. Yeah. So, but we're speed limited.
So are we. Yeah. And drive it like you stole it, doing 12 k's up around. Oh, and that's if it's a light line.
All right. Hey, listen. We're going to have another little short break. We'll come back to do our take five and hear from Leanne one more time before we say sayonara for the day. So we'll have a little break and we'll be back with you soon.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, thanks for tuning back in. We're on the wrap-up stage of the show. We're going to give our take five tips for the week. So remember that you are working with majority of men when you get out on site, and they will act like men. And we covered this earlier on. So don't take anything personally. If they're being too hard on you, challenge them, mediate with them, try and sort it out. If it doesn't get sorted out, then approach your line leader or your management team and go from there. But don't take it to heart. You know, it's not a personal attack, unless it really is.
Yeah.
And then you need to report it. But yeah, so some of the men will try and bring you down, but as we said, the culture has changed so much nowadays, and it's very little of that behavior goes on anymore. So being defensive will not help you get ahead. You've got to earn your stripes, you've got to pay respect, you've got to earn your respect, and that's what it's all about. Being respectful to yourself and to your fellow colleagues. So tip one is, when you're first coming up, learn to blend in. You'll be dealing with operators that have been doing this for a hell of a long bloody time, and as Leanne said, they might get a bit cranky, but they're not cranky at you, they're cranky at their job.
They're just cranky.
And sometimes they just don't want to be led by women, but they get over it. Tip two is, find yourself a support network, whether it's other women on site or at camp who you can share your experiences, lend an ear to, have a vent. You need those support networks, especially when you're out at camp and away from home. Build your network, support each other out on site and out in camp, in accommodation, or just someone who knows the industry, like Leanne. Give her a call, send her an email. She's happy to help you out and give you some sound advice. Number three is treat people well. Like we said, don't rise to confrontation, and you should be treated well back in return. Four is you are there to work. You will not receive special treatment. It will take the men time to realise that you're a valuable member of the team. As we said, you need to earn your stripes. But overall, all the teams are very supportive and responsive. And then number five is get in there and give it a bloody good go. So our safety affirmation today, and I found this from an Australian author, and she said it was out of a book that she wrote, and I just can't remember the name of that now.
Must have been good.
Yeah, it was. I didn't have read it. I've just found the quote. So the quote was, the mining industry might make wealth and power for a few men and women, but the many would always be smashed and battered beneath its giant treads. Ooh, that's deep, isn't it?
That was deep. I might have to listen to that one again.
So, well, I'll let you ponder over that over the next week.
That's a good word.
So, Leanne, thanks very much for coming on to Kick-Ass Radio Show. It's been a great show. Any lasting comment or advice you'd like to give our listeners today?
I would just love to thank you, my dear friend.
Thank you.
And I haven't been on a live podcast, but I've done one Facebook live stream podcast that I did, but normally because I'm the editor, I do all the things, so I know which bits I want to cut
drop out.
Like a few of those F words. We can have four, but not 35. So, yeah, thank you for the invitation, mate. It's a real honour.
Thanks for coming on. It's been a great conversation.
Hanging out with you, and it's really good to have someone. We both get it. We both get what it is I just like to finish on the
what boots
and with the Steel Cap Sisters and what boots, it's our passion to get us to start thinking consciously about our mindset. So consciously, if you're about to go into a room and have critical conversation, it might be might be at the crib hut or whatever, or it might be with your kid or your family member or your spouse. Consciously think about right now, what boots do I have to put on for this to be successful, for this to have a good outcome. So, like today, I opened the door and I'm like, wow, I got my podcaster boots on. You know? A lot of times I got my Nana boots on.
Yeah.
And it's all about my 5-year-old grandson who I'm
and in that
after.
Mindset.
Yeah. And it's the same. Dione talks about reframe before the plane. That's when you're coming home too.
That's it. Yep.
That's right. Leave work because the family are so excited that you're coming home and you're grumbling, bloody work, or we got held up at the airport or at the range because there's an oversize coming up and it's taken forever to get home. So it's all about thinking about, right, what boots do I have to put on? That's my message.
And manage your mindset.
And your me time boots.
Yeah.
Definitely. How many times do we take time out for ourselves? Right. Yeah.
Excellent.
So, follow us and all the things.
We will. All right. So, we'll put all Leanne's links to her website and her podcast, Beers with a Miner, What Boots, Steel Cap Sisters, all under the show notes. Reach out to Leanne if you want to find out some more information. Jump onto the Pounce course if you want to travel down that path.
That's mining.teachable.com.
Is it? Yep.
.com.
.com. That sounds so ancient,
American,
doesn't it?
Yeah. It's very American.
Okay, that's it, guys. I do hope you've enjoyed our show and our guest, Leanne Drew, a.k.a. Mad Mumsy. It's a very, very, very special big thank you to Leanne. And what women are doing for the mining industry and the resources industry is very impressive, as they're industries that were never set up for or catered really for women, but now they are. So women in mining and in industry has largely been developed nowadays, and we find that they're less challenging, but they are still challenging and we need to progress. So we need to get more women out on site and get those diverse perspectives out in there and contribute to making change. And I'll also note that for the holistic success of women in the resource and mining industries, it's important for women to help one another and assist with skills development, with career pathways. And I cannot stress enough, women need to be better at supporting women, and especially out on site and in these industries. So as always, I really appreciate you joining and listening into the show today. You can find more information about the show on our website, kickasswomen.com.au. Leave a review on BBS Radio Network, Kickass Radio, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. That's it for today's show. Keep in touch, POSCOMs. We'll catch you next week where we're talking to Jade from Women in Transportation Together. So we'll catch you next week. Go on, get your glow on.
Oh, see you, glow-getters.
See you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.